It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, welcome back, Fairbanks. It's Craig Compo with the Compo Outdoor Show. We do this every Saturday. We actually record it on Wednesday, but we play every Saturday at 12:30 on KFAR. And so we are talking always about outdoor stuff, my favorite subject, boats, motors, snow machines, hunting, access, how much I hate the Park Service, things like that. And we usually have guests. We've had Al Barrett from the Laundry House Gang. I've had Wayne Heimer here. And I've got another Laundry House Gang regular, really good friend of mine from Healy, Coke Wallace, who owns Midnight Sun Safaris, a real advocate for access, for hunting. Been really involved with a lot of issues over the years due to his business and his family. His dad's Chick Wallace, and you know, he's always like to run into him around town. Welcome, Coke. Welcome to the Compo Outdoor Show.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't remember how long we've known each other. It's been decades. But I don't know all the history of what really got you into the guiding business. I mean, you're a master guide. You're a preferred guide with NRA. You've got a lot of accolades as far as big game and, you know, record sheep and everything else out of the Healy area, that whole area down there. Tell us a little bit about what got you into it. I know you were probably came out of the womb with a rifle in your head, but tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, actually, Compos, your dad, was somewhat instrumental in it, too. You know, I started out as a big duck hunter, and I was running Evan Root outboards and the old Jackass lift your pop used to build back before the jets became popular.
Sure.
And so I've been buying snowmobiles and outboards from Compos since I was a teenager, since we were both teenagers, actually. I went to the University of Alaska Fairbanks and graduated in the class 86 with a criminal justice degree.
I didn't know that.
Then I realized that there is no justice. That's why the Clintons are still amongst us. And I couldn't get a job in the field. I wanted to be a peace officer in Alaska, and at that time they just weren't hiring. They wish they had now, but that's too late. And so I had been guiding the whole time I was in college. My advisor at the University of Alaska, Dr. Ken Stockholm, he was a guide himself.
So he was kind of your mentor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he allowed me to attend the fall semester late, come in late and be on my own responsibility to catch up. And after college, when I couldn't get a job as a fish and wildlife cop, which I wanted to do, I just said, well, I'll just stick with the guiding, and I stuck with it and got to see the whole state. That's the neatest thing about guiding, especially when you're a young man. You know, you can, I've killed sheep in every mountain range in this state, and I've hunted from Cold Bay to Prudhoe Bay and a whole lot of places in between, and it's a kick-ass way to see the state and get paid for it.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, they say a job isn't really a job if you enjoy what you're doing, and you've got some tremendous stories I've heard where you've, and it's kind of like my business. I really enjoy when somebody buys a product from us and they come in and you can tell they're just passionate about the trip they made up to Summit or Cantwell or something they did. And you get that on a regular basis. You got a lot of happy customers. I mean, not everybody gets an animal every time, and most people understand that, but that's got to be rewarding, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this day and age, it's getting tougher and tougher to get them an animal every time, as everyone's well aware of. These brutal winters we've been having have just wreaked havoc on the game populations.
Sure. That's interesting. And we talk about this in our Laundry House Gang Wednesday meetings. We'll get one later on. This year, you know, and we never count on a successful hunt. We work it hard when we go up the Good Pastor River way up there. And, you know, we've had years where we just got plenty of game and everybody had plenty in their freezers. Last year, not so much. There was 8 or 9 of us that hunt out of our camp. We got one moose. Should have had a second maybe, but, you know, just a young kid missed a shot that they probably shouldn't have, but that happens. But But, you know, you divvy up the meat. We always, that's the deal. When they all come up, it doesn't matter who shoots it. We're all doing it to put meat in the freezer. So we just divvy it up. But last year, we didn't see many animals. Saw a lot of wolf tracks, a lot of bear tracks. In fact, I was telling some folks, there's floaters that get flown in way up at the headwaters there by Tibbs Creek. And they come down and almost every single year, I think every single year, they've got one or two moose or a moose and a caribou on there. Because we get way up there and we see them coming down. This year, the first floater we saw had nothing. And the second one had two wolves and a bear on his on his little cataract. It's like, whoa.
He's doing his part. He deserves a moose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. Yeah, I'd have given him some of ours. But my point was, what do you think was the, you know, I've heard smoke, all the smoke from the fires. I've heard the rain. What do you think was the reason so many people didn't see or didn't get moose this year?
I think a combination of the weather, but also I think that all the ungulate populations are hurting right now. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from people that hunt in other parts of the state.
Sure.
You know, where I sheep hunt is considered some of the finest dull sheep habitat in all of North America, and it is poor, real poor. Yeah. This year, my first 10 days of hunting, I went up in what is traditionally a nice little honey hole drainage that I can normally count to produce a nice ram or two. I saw 7 sheep total, and normally on a bad day, you'd see 3 or 4 dozen. On a good day, you'd see 10 or 12 dozen, you know, scattered around. And
sure.
And I spent a week in there with the guy walking our bums off, looking into every little hole that I know usually holds sheep. And the countryside's devoid of life, you know. And as I would, you know, being in the guiding business, besides my parents, obviously, my grandparents and my aunts and uncles, my biggest mentors have been hunting guides that I've worked for. I've been fortunate. I've worked with John Swiss, the Branham brothers. I've known Bill Wagaman and Urban Ray, who I never worked for, but they were good friends
Bill
and
Hager.
People I talked to a lot, Bill Hager. And, you know, the reason that Urban Rahoy's sheep area is so coveted right now in this day and age is Urban kind of carried on with a predator control program in lieu of government sanctioning or permission, which that's why he's got all the damn sheep in the state.
And that's a perfect example of how government can screw stuff up. But a conservation expert, somebody like an Urban Rahoy that really understands how you keep animals. He wasn't always about just knocking every animal down, you know.
No.
He was all about the experience. He was angry if you didn't bring
your children
because he really wanted the kids in there.
Right.
He wanted a guy to bring his wife in there to experience it, and not necessarily just put a rack on the wall. It was just the experience. And if you got an animal, that was a bonus. But that's what I liked about Urban. He understood how to protect the resource. He understood you got to control the predators.
Right.
And you don't have to wipe them out, but you got to control them. And the problem with not controlling them is what you run into so often now is just a predator pit and areas where they're run rampant and there's no real control there.
Right.
I was talking about Bill Hager, and you know, so when you talked a lot of the antis or the PETA folks and all that stuff, you get mixed messages. So I remember when Bill Hager, when I was a young guy, and he explained to me, he goes, "Kid, how many, what percentage of the moose and caribou do you think are taken by hunters?" And I'm a young dumb kid. I said, "I don't know, 30." And he said, "No, it's like 4 to 5%." 4 to 5% are taken by hunters. So all these people that say, "Oh, it's over hunting, and you know we're wiping out the population because too many hunters," that has very little to do with it. It's predators, it's weather, it's all these other factors. And so that was a real eye opener for me, and that's kind of what got me into looking into more. You know, Bill Hager, really started this movement of questioning fish and game, questioning the experts back in the 70s in Unit 13 when the population went from 30,000 moose to, what is it, 4,500 or something like that. And they started all these restrictions. Okay, we're going to put more hunting restrictions. It wasn't a hunting issue. It was a predator issue primarily and some weather issues. And so he really started this whole thing and got these groups together. We've met over 42 years in a row now every Wednesday, and you've been to so many of them. We need more people like that that question when we just start controlling man and not so much some of the environment.
Right, right, right. Well, I actually, if you remember, you were the reason I joined the Friends of Bill Hager. You called me one morning after I had caught one of them wrong wolves, one wearing a little park circus bling, and you're like, man, you won't believe what they're saying about you in NPR. I said, well, I'm betting you 90-some percent of it's bullshit. So
yeah, and it was.
Let them roll on. Maybe they'll sell some. Later, I said, let them talk all they want. They just sell T-shirts and hunts.
Yeah.
And that's okay by me.
Yeah.
My mom always told me, who cares what they're saying about you as long as they're spelling your name right?
That's true. I like that. So what is your primary area of hunting with Midnight Sun Safaris? I mean, what area do you concentrate?
The Central Alaska Range and the Yanert Fork of the Nenana River and the Wood River drainages primarily. It's got a long historic horseback hunting history. Going back to Carl Anderson, that Anderson Mountain's named after. It started the Wood River Lodge in 1906. And it was made a one of the controlled use areas that's primarily for non-motorized. The only motorized craft you can use in there is an airplane to transport hunters and big game.
And so you do most of your, or all of your fall hunting big game on horseback.
Yep.
And that's got to be getting expensive with the price of hay and feed and everything and access to it.
Hay's up to $800 a ton right now.
And what was it when you started? Farmer.
When I started, it's about $80 a ton.
A tenfold increase.
Right. And, you know, people go, well, you get $30,000 for a sheep hunt. Or I like it. They say you make $30,000 for a sheep hunt. Like, no. Come pay my bills and see how much
at
I don't
end,
make.
At the
you
end
know?
Of the year, yeah.
And even with the airplanes now, you know, when I started, a Super Cub was $85 an hour. And now they're $350 an hour.
Yeah.
And it's all relative. It cost me $75 to put less than half a tank of fuel in my truck to come down this morning. You know, it's irritating. And The worst part for me in my business, there's cheap hay right over in Canada.
Yeah.
But getting anything across the border right now, especially I've bought all my horses over the years from Canada, I could traffic children over the border easier than I can get horses in.
Isn't
right
that
now.
Sad.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And we the people hopefully took care of the Republic yesterday. but apparently they're still having problems counting votes in some parts of the state. Of the nation, and it's amazing to me, American Idol can count a million votes on a commercial break, or more than a million, and these clowns can't.
Yeah, good point.
Get
it
right.
There's problems. I guess there was problems in Arizona or somewhere. There was problems with voting machines, and the lines were so long, people were waiting hours to vote. Well, people just left.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know. It just this whole system's got to be improved. It's got to be made more just more secure so people understand that one vote, you get one vote. This whole ranked choice voting has got to go away. It's the most miserable. It's just horrible.
The founding fathers set up a wonderful
wonderful
thing, and the founding fathers of Alaska for that matter. We have one of the strongest state constitutions in the nation, and our federal constitution, those guys were some forward-thinking fellas, man.
My favorite political cartoon, I even made a T-shirt out of it. It was a picture of John Adams and the other founders of the Constitution. They're standing around the final draft. It's on a table. And they're kind of scratching their chin, and Adams looks down. And this was in 2009 when this cartoon came out. And he looks down and he goes, you know, gentlemen, I still think we should put something in there just in case that people elect a real idiot.
Right.
You know, let's make it more solid because they're going to interpret it, they're going to misinterpret it, and they're going to tear it.
Yeah, they gave us a foolproof, idiot-resistant document. They didn't know we were going to put fools and idiots in charge. But I don't think we've put them in charge. I think they've installed themselves with their bullshit system.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and it's it doesn't seem to be getting much better fast. But hopefully we get something accomplished on this last round. We'll see, I guess. Time will tell. All right, Fairbanks. Well, we're going to take a short break, pay some bills. We're talking with Coke Wallace, Midnight Sun Safaris out of Healy, good friend of mine, longtime Laundry House Gang regular, little bit opinionated. Got to like that. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. We're talking with Coke Wallace, a dear friend of mine and a longtime member of the Laundry House Gang. And before we get on to, I want to talk a little predator control and a little history on that and what we need to do in your opinion going forward. Talk a little bit. I like to plug the business. I know majority of your business is from outside, but a lot of your business is probably referrals from people that live here. Hey, I got a cousin, I got a brother who's got a friend who owns a trucking company who really wants to come hunting. So a large part of your business, the cheapest advertising in the world is what the kind I like the best, and that's word of mouth.
Right.
Like my grandpa said, treat somebody right, they'll tell a few people. Treat them badly, they'll tell a few dozen. In your business, that's got to be like paramount. You've got to be word of mouth. You get somebody, an animal, they go back, they're telling what a great time they had. Pretty soon you're getting calls from their buddies back in Wisconsin or Texas or Tennessee or Kentucky or whatever.
Right.
And that's great. So how would people, you got a website, how do people get a hold of you? Is a phone number, for Midnight Sun Safaris, if they either want to hunt or if they want to, set somebody up or, I know you got to schedule far in advance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a website. My hunts generally book out a year or two in advance.
Sure.
And I have a website, but primarily it is word of mouth. And I have a lot of regular repeat customers.
Sure.
And actually, I have quite a few Alaska customers, which surprises me. I've said to some of my clients that are Alaskans in years past, why would you pay the money I charge and you could go do this yourself? And he's like, live in a tent, cook for myself.
Yeah.
Get my hands bloody. No, man, I'll pay you. I'll pull the trigger and, I'll help you a little bit. But
sure.
Yeah. I'm paying for a good thing, and I know I got a better chance than if I go out and suffer in a nylon tent on the mountainside somewhere.
That's right. And you got to set up. You know how to get set up. You got locations out there to get.
Yeah, you've been there. You've been out to my camps and stuff.
It's
and
nice.
Actually, Compo's and Skidoo primarily are really responsible for a lot of those happening. I've hauled.
Yep.
Thousands of tons of materials out into the bush of Alaska with them
Skidoo
Scandics, man. Yeah. Those V800s.
See how we do this? We plug each other's business a little bit. Of course, you're sold out of customers for a couple of years. I'm sold out of sleds for a year. But it's a good problem to have. At the end of the day, it's a good problem to have. You're busy. That means you're doing something right.
Right.
So, the other thing I want to talk briefly about is the term you always use, the dead guy bus.
Right.
For years you had the bus that Chris McCandless passed in out off Stampede there.
Right.
And of course they moved that recently.
Right.
But you were taking, was it mostly locals or was it just transients that were coming up?
Oh no, transients, man. And I've easily took.
What did you call it? What do you call the bus?
The dead guy bus.
The dead guy bus. I love that. I wrote a song about it.
Right. I know. Good one. I never intended to be doing tours to the bus, especially the park circus. They had a problem because a little part of the trail, the Stampede Trail, clips into the park. Allegedly. It's open for debate. Because the park border out there, and we've talked about this at Friends of Bill Hager with Mr. Scarborough, who is a surveyor.
Surveyor, professional surveyor.
I swear to God, man, they turn interns loose with park border signs and just say, go find a tree and stick it on it, because their border's off in a lot of spots where it's marked. And, you know, I almost got in a pissing match with them about where the border was several years ago. And it was a section of my trap line where I catch some lynx and marten. If I wasn't a hunting guide, I'd probably push the issue with them for a pissing match. But I don't need to get in a bunch of frickin'
trouble. And I know your wife has probably said, back off. Not another one of these, Coke, because she's a sweetheart. But she's always like, oh, here we go again. You know.
Well, the thing is, she knows more about diplomacy and decorum than I do, but she makes me look like Bernie Sanders, in all honesty, and that's why it works for us. But the whole wolf controversy thing and all that I've been involved in, and I've had some, you know, pretty untenable shit thrown my way, you know, and that's... Yep. Like Mom said, at least they spell your name right. So it's I've never done anything I'm ashamed of with the wolves. I believe Dominion shouldn't be a voting machine that steals our republic, sure, run by the Chinese and the Democrats. But Dominion is something we should be administering to the animals. We're supposed to. It says it right in the owner's manual for the human animal. And that's why Urban and those guys, you know, I talk about sometimes when I get on this subject, and I know you've seen it, the old Leroy Scheibel.
Mm-hmm.
Video. Take This Is My Alaska. Yeah. You know, those guys were out having a good time, and they were doing good for everyone. I hear from the locals where I get most of my trap line funk and shit from, the Earth Muffins and the Tundra Wookiees is right outside my house there where I'm surrounded by the park. But the local people that hunt out there, they give me, you know, a thumbs up and whatnot. And they notice if I have a good year and I smash a bunch of them, they notice there's a difference out there.
Sure.
And it does make a difference.
I tell you what, there's a guy up in the Good Pasture region that got 40 wolves in 2 years. And I saw his name on a little plaque up there. And, of course, we were hauling fuel up to our hunting camp. Well, that really helps. 40 wolves in that one drainage in basic grant. That's a lot. And
right.
And so I texted him. I got his number, texted him. I said, hey, I understand you're trapping in our hunting area. And he said, yeah, what's the deal? I said, well, I just need a mailing address. I heard you got 40 wolves. I'd like to send you some money.
Right.
So we sent him $400 just to help pay for gas. You know, it's not a lot of money, but it's helpful. And he was very appreciative, you know. He didn't ask for it.
Right.
And so anyway, it's good. But back to predator control on a bigger scale. You know, we had the intensive management program. We got fired up in 94. Seekins wrote that, or our group wrote it, and Seekins took it forward. He was instrumental in it, obviously. But so going back to the Urban Ray Hoy days where they took care of it and the game population just would thrive over and over. It didn't go away. You know, it has its ups and downs because of weather and other stuff, but you can control predators and keep the ungulates, the food you put in your freezer, at a healthy level. And
right.
then the wolf population isn't going to go away. You don't wipe them all out. You know, you keep them under control. Fish and Game got that here for a few years, and they were doing the fly-in and of course you had the program where you could, the private pilots could do it. Do we need to do more of that?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think of that photo that's been in your store forever of all them damn moose, and it says something like pre-Tony Knowles days headline under. But you know, I say all the time, I miss the good old days when there was only two genders and park rangers poisoned wolves and shot eagles, you know, and asking to shoot an eagle in this day and age is like asking to shoot a militant Muslim transvestite. People frown on it, but the environment would be better off. And, you know, it's okay to smash the predators down, like we said. So everyone who wants to come to Alaska or lives in Alaska shouldn't have an opportunity to shoot a dull sheep or a caribou or a moose or whatever. You know, and game populations are going to fluctuate wildly. We can't control the weather. We can't control the predators.
Can't control fires.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I last year at the Board of Game meetings, I've participated actively the whole time I've been a hunting guide in my local AC and at the Board of Game meetings. And Stosh Hoffman, one of the guys, asked someone else, I wish he'd asked me, they were talking about it. He goes, have you ever seen an eagle take an adult sheep? Now, I've never seen it, but the year before last, two of my guides and one of my clients saw on the Upper Yanner River two golden eagles giving a doll ram a real bad time, basically getting him one talon strike at a time. And they watched them eagles chase that ram around, smacking him. They said when he went over the ridge, his back straps were hanging in shreds down his side, and wow. He probably didn't make it. And yep. The attack wasn't over anyhow. You're going to die of infection anyhow.
Sure.
And I'm okay with eagles doing what they do, just like I'm okay with wolves doing what they do. But if we want to have ungulates to eat and to hunt, we have to take care of it. And in the old days when the government trusted private individuals, they did take care of it. Like I was talking about that Leroy Scheibel. This is my Alaska. That's a great, great example.
Anybody that hasn't seen that video, I think you can get it at the...
They got it somewhere here.
At the Bible bookstore, actually.
I believe
down there by the donut shop, I think, on Gaffney, you can get it there. I think I saw it there. Can't remember where else I've got a copy
good,
of it.
Good, clean fun, man.
Man, I'm telling
Chuck
you.
Chuck Gray. And
Chuck
those guys,
Gray
they were all
still
good
around.
Guys,
yeah,
good people.
Chuck, I see him over at Big Daddy's once a week. He's over there. Yeah, I mean, these people really got it. You know, they understood you can make more, you can grow more game by controlling the wolf and bear population.
Right.
And again, not wiping them out, just keeping them under control, keeping them at a level where they are not just devastating, you know, when these animals are born. I mean, that's where most of them go. They just get pounced on, you know, when they're in the birthing process and everything. And it's just like, you got to control that at some point, especially when you have a combination of weather like we had last year.
Right.
Predation, everything else. You can control predation. And
shit, man, where I live the last 3 years, it's been terrible weather for the animals. You know, we had that phenomenon last December where it snowed 4 feet. It rained 6 inches.
Yeah.
It snowed 4 feet, and then bam, 30 below.
And so what happens? So the wolves can run on top of it 20 miles, 30
right.
miles an hour. The moose are getting their legs cut up by the ice.
Right.
They can't get away, and they're just
And a sheep
devastated.
Can't eat.
Yeah,
and,
can't get
and,
under the ice.
Right, and they live on a slope. They fall and hurt themselves. There ain't no vet coming. There's some wolves and coyotes around to help them out, but ain't no vets coming.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
And these Board of Game meetings, which are open to the public, I always encourage people to go to these. Learn about a certain subject if you don't know much about it, but you'll get a good feel also of where the pushback is coming from.
Right.
And if you want to be part of the solution, you want to help, put meat in your kids and your grandkids' freezer, you need to go to these things. You need to get involved. You need to maybe get on a rack, get involved with this stuff. And so few people do. They don't have time. They don't want to do it. But it's really important because it's, again, look at our lives. We've had a lot of fun hunting out in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to lose that, you know. And, again, we're losing it every day. We got 22% of the state left that we can even access. We've got so many restrictions going on. It's just it's getting to the point where you got to think about the grandkids.
Right.
You know, not just your kids, but the grandkids.
Right.
Because it's changing fast. And with this Biden administration and these regulations and this anti-development mentality, you know, we got to change that. We got to get back to... At least, I don't know that it'll ever be like it used to be, but it's got to be kind of like it used to be, right?
Can be. We need to bring the politicians and the bureaucrats to heel. They've forgotten that they work for us.
Yeah.
And they need to be reminded. I hope that we sent that message yesterday. And
yeah.
I
think to a point we did. It still boggles my mind, some of these politicians that get in again after just horrible results, just terrible governing. And yet here they are, they're winning in some of these elections. And again, it's the bigger cities. Those people are lost. They
right.
really are lost.
Right.
And, you know, they all need to get shook by the collar. And I don't know. To me, it's just disgusting because we're never going to really enjoy the freedoms that our dad and our grandpas did. And we even did at the rate we're going. We're going
right.
to lose it all. But well, listen, Fairbanks, it's been a great show talking with Coke Wallace, Midnight Sun Safaris. A little bit of one of the little more opinionated guys I know. We'll probably have to go in and bleep a couple of words, but that's all good. Coke says it like it is, and I appreciate you you being on here, and I really appreciate you doing what you do and participating and getting the voice out there, the guides, and as they need to be heard. So thanks for coming in, Coke, and love to have you in here again some other time.
Right on, brother. Take care. We'll see you again.
Okay. All right, Fairbanks, that's another episode of the Compo Outdoor Show. We'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compo's Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.